Welcome to the Simple Gospel Church podcast, raising a generation that will stand for Christ.
Know that in your presence there is fullness of joy. And so, Father, as we gather this evening to learn at your feet, we ask, Lord, that you will grant us the understanding of your word, and you will reveal your word to us in the mighty name of Jesus. You make us to see the purpose of your calling and the reason for your love which you have towards us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. All right, today we are going to continue with the book of John. We stopped at chapter 17, right? Yeah. So we'll continue from chapter 18. So this evening we are going to be taking from verse 1 to 14 of that chapter 18. Amen. So let's have the scripture, John chapter 18, from verse 1 to 14. And so we read, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, 'Whom are you seeking?' They answered him, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus said to them, 'I am he.' And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, 'Whom are you seeking?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus answered, 'I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let this go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Then the detachment of troops and the captain of the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Amen. All right, so here is the portion that followed after Jesus prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for all believers in chapter 17. So now, this passage actually is the passage that actually started the arrest of Jesus, his betrayal and his arrest. Amen. So what actually happened here, just like Pastor was teaching us this morning, he said there were some things that John actually skipped, because the other books, the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, Luke had actually given a detailed account of what happened, during the time Jesus was around. And so this actually started with when Jesus finished praying. You know, sometimes before now, I used to think that prayer actually was prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, that prayer in chapter 17. But, alas, I saw that was actually prayed, I think, somewhere around the temple area before he now crossed over to the garden where he now prayed again for himself. You can see this actually is very significant to see that prayer is needed at every point. You can't overpray. Amen. Prayer is something that you can't overdo. It's something that continues every time. It's something that we should do. And this example has been given to us by Jesus himself. He prayed extensively in chapter 17. And coming to chapter 18 again, we saw the account of he and his disciples crossing over the brook Kidron. That brook Kidron is actually a kind of a valley or a place where when they slaughter the lambs in the temple, that's a place where the blood is a passage. You know, they had to cross over it. So, you know, as they crossed over going to the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, something would have struck Jesus seeing the blood of the Lamb. And his time had come. And seeing those blood, the blood of the sacrifice that was made, and this blood, this sacrifice was, it's not just, they were like in like millions of them that were being slaughtered at this feast, because it's a great feast. It's a great Passover, you know. So, having crossed over the brook, seeing the blood, you know, something would have prompted. And, you know, an account had it that Jesus told them, he said, "My soul is what exceedingly sorrowful unto death." He had to tell them, even after that prayer, I had to tell them, "Come, let me go and pray again. You just stay and watch for me. Let me go and see if something can be done." Amen. If probably the Father can change his mind. Ha. Amen. But, you know, he had to go there and he went to pray again. And we can see that account fully in Luke chapter 22. Let's quickly look at the book of Luke chapter 22. Verse 39 to 52. Luke 32. All right. It said, "Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he arose from the prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, 'Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation.' And while he was still speaking, behold a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, 'Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?' When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, 'Lord, shall we strike with the sword?' And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Amen. You can see this actually gave the account of what happened in this chapter, John chapter 18. This actually was what happened before they came. He had to go and pray. And he did that like 3 times. He went there, he prayed for a while, came back to see his disciples. He found them sleeping and he told them, pray so that you will not enter into temptation, because temptation was at the corner. They will be tempted. So Peter was going to, you know, was going to deny him. And all the other disciples, they are going to flee. They will leave him and run. But he told them, people should pray so that you can remain in me, so that you won't be offended. Amen. So now what we can actually know, there are things that we can note from this John chapter 18 from verse 1 to 14. And in verse 4 to 6, Jesus remarkably revealed his identity again as God. He revealed his identity again as God. Not just as a man now, but as God. The same God that led them, that revealed himself to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and also to Moses with that name. That name that the children of Israel knew God to be, and the one God told Moses to reveal him as to the children of Israel. And that name is what we can see here. He said, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. Now, some translation actually had it as I am, not as he. That he, actually, if you look at some translation, was italicized, right? To show that Jesus was actually telling them, he was revealing his deity to them, just like we had this morning. He revealed his deity also to them while he was talking to them in some chapters preceding this chapter in the book of John. And when they came to him, they were querying him, questioning him, and asking him, do you want to tell us that you are older than Abraham? He told them, he said, before Abraham was, he didn't say, I was. He said, I am. Revealing the same thing he told Moses when he encountered him at the burning bush. In the book of Exodus chapter 3, if you look at the book of Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, 13 to 14. Exodus 3:13. I just want us to see that account briefly. Amen. Okay, he's there. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, if they come by themselves, they can't really recognize him. Right? At least they should have seen him now. They should have seen him working miracles. But when they are in the group, probably you don't really know who is who, because the way they interact. Amen. So they came back, they re-strategized and said, oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He told them, he said, if it's me that you seek, then leave this once. And I am the one you are looking for. Take me. Let this one go. What does that signify? It signifies that Jesus was in control. Even while this event was going on, he was still in charge. He had to command them, leave this one. And they obeyed. He said, leave them, let them go their way.
They obeyed him. He said that his word, that the prayer he prayed in verse 17 might be fulfilled, which he prayed to God and said that, he said, none. That the same might be fulfilled, which he spoke of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. That was the prayer I prayed in the preceding chapter. And this is what he was fulfilling. So, he was in charge. He was still in control of the situation. And he gave them the command. And they obeyed. Because if you look at the people that came to arrest Jesus, they were not just ordinary men. They were a detachment of soldiers. And you know, the Roman soldiers of those days, they were bloody guys. They are people that are trained to kill. Probably you watch The Passion of Christ and like that, they skillfully and they carefully did research to produce that film and to see the account of what actually happened. Those guys are killing machines. They were not ordinary men that came to the garden, but Jesus was still in control. To the extent that while Peter drew sword, you know, Peter, Jesus already told them, it was just like he was waking up from a deep sleep of sorrow that came upon him. And he was like, all of a sudden, multitude gathered. What is this? He said, Master, what should we do? Give us command. We're at your order. We're at your command. Should we strike? And these ones are not even waiting for order. Before the order came, Marcus was actually he was lucky because Peter was coming for his head. But I don't know, probably maybe it's divine that the sword had to go. Because, of course, Peter knew that this is trouble. And the next thing he wanted to do is to start killing. And so he went straight for the hair of Malchus. And the hair came down. And Jesus said, hold it there. I didn't send you. You didn't even obey my command. I've not even given you command. You know? And he told him, he said, do you think that if I need help now, I will not pray the Father to send me legions? You know what legion is? Legions is not a small number. Legions of angels. They are higher angels. They are higher than this Roman soldiers. So they will just come and I don't need your own help. I don't need your contribution. Don't worry. This is to show that Jesus was in control of the whole situation. And also to show that it was not these people's, Roman soldiers' intimidation that made Jesus surrender himself. It's to show you that he did this willingly. He did it willingly. Amen. And something prompted it. Remember, he went back to the Father after passing through the brook Kidron. Saw the blood. He went back and he went to pray 3 times. He prayed again to ask the Father, is it possible that I don't go through this, I don't drink this cup or go through this suffering? Is it possible? I know all things are possible with you. If it's possible, take this thing from me. But he said, not my will, but yours be done. He now told Peter, he said, how then shall the scripture be fulfilled if you try to defend me? At this point, I don't need your defense. Hold your sword. Return the sword back to the sheath. Let me go through this willingly. Willingly. And something prompted this. John 18:11-12. the 11 to 12 said, so Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. It's going to be very ridiculous to think that it was the chain or the rope that they brought to bind Jesus was what was holding him. Do you think that was it? No. That was not it. Remember that when he revealed himself as I am, they did what? They fell. They fell. So it couldn't have been their own power. And also, the same thing happened. He expressly said this to Pilate when Pilate was trying him later on. Pilate said, don't you hear all these accusations they are making about you? He said, don't you think that I have the power? Pilate was telling Jesus that he has the power to do to release you. I can release you. I'm willing to release you. And I have the power to do so. Jesus looked at him. It was that because the second time when Pilate was talking to Jesus, Jesus didn't answer anymore. But when he mentioned that, Jesus said, you would have had no power except it's been given you from where? From above. But he that gave me to you, handed me over to you, had a greater sin. He had a greater sin. So don't worry. Let it be. He said, how then shall the scripture be fulfilled? He was willing to fulfill the will of the Father because he had already prayed that not my will, but your will be done. Because at the point when he passed through the brook Kidron, probably he might have, those blood will have prompted Kai. You know, seeing the sight of blood, I know that, is this kind of thing that I'm going to go through? He had to reconsider. I say, at this point, I'm a man. I have will. But let me go back to pray. But he prayed and he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. So the will of God had to be done. So he had to surrender himself. The first thing that prompted his surrender was what? The will of the Father. The second thing that prompted his surrender was because of the love he had for you and I. He had you and I in mind. And there were a lot of people. Jesus was, he did this selflessly. It was a selfless thing that he did. Because by his own will, he can escape. He can turn the table around. He can turn the situation around because he was in charge. And so, he loved you. He considered that some we need to be saved. These people are to be saved. And remember also that there are also people in the past that were waiting for this time. People had gone to hell. All those people that were in the Old Testament, they didn't go to heaven. They went to hell. They were there in hell. David, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were there. So they were waiting for this time. And so Jesus, he had to take self out of this. And he had to face the cross because of the love he has for us. And so the love he has for us is amazing. It's something that is invaluable. It's something we can't pay. We can't pay for it. We can't quantify it with anything. And he didn't compromise. It's an uncompromising love. It was a selfless love. And so these are the things we need to consider. These are the things we need to think. Think on these things. And the next thing is for us to respond back to this love. Remember, this morning we talked about terrible love. It's a terrifying love. The love that compels, the love that demands. It's not a love that you can see and you overlook. It's a captivating love. A risky love, a bloody love that we need to respond to with the whole of our lives. This was what prompted him. It wasn't the sword, it wasn't the club. Because he asked them. He said, "Why did you now come out against me as if I'm a robber?" Because the detachment was actually, the detachment is like 200 and something. It's made up of 200 and something men, soldiers, that came. Plus the officers of the Pharisees. They came in mass. He said, "You don't need all these things. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it back. So I have to fulfill the scripture because of his love." And so we need to consider the love of Christ. We need to consider the love he has for us. And we need to respond to this love. Totally, in the entirety of whatever it is that we have, we need to give it attention. I think the book of Hebrews was talking about paying attention to the things that we have had. He said, if the people of old didn't take the law of Moses, they didn't take it with levity, they didn't take it all seriously, they took it upon themselves. He said, now God is speaking to us through his Son by himself. So we need to pay close attention to this love. It's not something we can ignore. It's not something we should look at, and we should always respond to it with great admiration, with great love, with the whole of our lives, with everything in us. We need to give everything. Is it our money? Our money is not enough. Our money is not enough. Giving our lives is what he needs. Giving our lives is what he requires. And so that was what prompted him. That was what made him to go to the that was what made him to be bound by those assailants. So he was bound by his love for you and for me. So we can also say that he was not a captive of these people. These people it wasn't a captive to them. It's not in the right sense. It's not that they arrested him. He wasn't arrested. What did he do? Did he kill anybody? No. He wasn't. No, it's something that didn't warrant any arrest. He was not a captive to those people, but he was a captive of love. The love he has for you and I made him a captive. That was what made them to lead him. They led him forth to the hand of sinners. And so that was why we, in the verse 13 and 14, 13 and 14 talks about, and they led him away. To who? To Annas first. To who? To Annas. Excuse me. To Annas first. For he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Annas. How many of us know who Annas is? How many of us know who Annas is? Annas. This Annas. He was who? Who was he? He was a high priest. He was also a high priest. He held that position of high priesthood for a certain years before he now gave it to his children. Like I think I think some account had it that he gave it to like five of his children before eventually he gave it to his son-in-law. You can see how the high priest office has become during this time. It was politicized, or how will we put it now? What English do we use for that? Politicized, yeah. So it has become a political affairs. And Annas, if you know who this Annas is, he's a very corrupt man. Annas is one of these wealthy people. Remember, Pastor was saying something about the when the Bible is talking about particular groups, talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, then the Herodians, right? This man, and you know, the Sadducees, I think he talked about the Sadducees as they are a small sect. They are the people that do not believe in resurrection. They are the small sect, but they are the most wealthiest, they are the wealthiest ones among the sect. And they in a way they control things. This is who this Annas is. It's a Sadducee. And he's an high priest. But he's a corrupt man. And account has added that he was corrupt to the point that he had a booth, a shop in the Jerusalem temple. Be free. Amen. So the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the love that made you go through all that you went through, starting from the Garden of Gethsemane, where you were arrested. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for surrendering yourself in love. It was not because you were weak. It was not because you had no power. It was not because of this assailant's intimidation or the sword or the clubs they had, but because of your love, you surrendered yourself. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing this for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going through all this for us. We say thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Mighty Father, we ask, O God, for understanding. We ask, O God, for the heart of obedience to you, the heart of allegiance to you, the heart, O Lord, to respond back to your love with reverence, with awe. We receive this heart of surrender in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to love you back. Help us, Lord, to serve you. Help us, Lord, to go all the way for you as long as we live on this earth in the mighty name of Jesus. Give us grace, Lord, not to fall by the way in the mighty name of Jesus. Give us grace, Lord, to stand with you, to stand by you, to stand in defense of the gospel in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. For it in Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. The Simple Gospel Church is a church arm of World Impact Ministries. dedicated to taking the gospel all over the world.